Mike, turn your games down.
Sorry, we're doing a movie episode of Games My Mom Found. I am Mike Elberton, and who's getting lost in the woods with me tonight?
Hi, I'm the Let's Play Princess Phoebe Danton, reminding you to spay and neuter your cat boss.
Hi, it's... I should have came up with some sort of a nice... Hi, I'm Trey. Totoro was once brought to you by the Toxic Avenger Johnson.
It's the truth. I'm Jess, and I would like to find a leaf big enough to use as an umbrella.
I mean, you could. You just maybe need a time machine, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I don't think we have big enough leaves.
I don't know.
Do we, like, in real life?
Probably, like, on a palm tree.
Yeah, the big, jungle leaves, right? Yeah, or whatever.
Somewhere they exist.
We can make it work.
Thankfully.
I don't know. I just started thinking of Jurassic Park when you said giant leaf. I don't know where my brain went.
Do you want us to say, what are we supposed to say about our shows or whatever?
Yes, where can people find you at, Trey?
Hi, I'm Trey. I'm on a show called Nintendo Main, and Jess and I also, we do a show, well, we did a show called How Is It Now, but we still do an Oscar commentary every year on there, and I'm hoping to come back and do some. But we would talk about old movies that won Oscars and how they are now, and Nintendo Main is our Nintendo podcast where every week we talk about Nintendo games, and we have different guests and whatnot. We just had Chris Totten on there. He's the developer of Kudzu, which is like a homebrew game made for Game Boy, which you can buy for Switch now for $5, and I really enjoyed it. You can listen to us talk to him on there. I did. Look up Nintendo Main.
And it's not on Steam. I looked it up.
It's
not on Steam. No.
Oh, yeah. It's $4.99 on Switch.
Then I have to play a Switch.
Or it's like $50 you have a Switch. Or it's like $50 if you want to buy the Game Boy game, like the actual physical game.
But I have a Steam Deck.
Oh, so yeah. I guess not. Yeah, I guess it's only on Nintendo.
I'm guessing it's going to come to Steam Deck, Steam eventually.
Sure. So. I think it was on, I don't know if it was on Xbox or not, because I know they said it wasn't on PlayStation yet. I mean, I don't know.
It's just on Nintendo, from what I saw, Switch. I was looking it up after you guys were talking about it.
Yeah. It's fun, though. It's a good time. I beat it. I got the true ending.
It looked cool. You guys got my attention. I listen to your show almost every week, and I've been trying to shout it out here off and on for different shows I listen to.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Which is not a lot.
You're not annoyed yet.
No. So weird.
I know that I can be too talky.
So shut up. We are here to talk about a Patreon voted movie that the Patreon said voted for. My Neighbor Totoro came out in 1988, directed and written by Hayao Miyazaki. If I said that correctly.
Miyazaki.
Okay. And I think this is one of the first Studio Ghibli movies?
The third. It's the third one.
What's the first two then?
The first one is Nausicaa.
Oh, yeah.
Nausicaa and the Valley of the Wind.
And the second one is, I just looked it up when we watched, because we just watched this again, obviously, a couple days ago. But yeah.
The internet says Castle in the Sky, then this one, and Grave of Fireflies were the same year.
I was going to say, it was Grave of the Fireflies on that list, and if so, is Castle of Cagliostro on the list?
Well, that was, Well, I mean, Miyazaki used to write for what's his name?
Oh, yeah. Nausicaa is a different company, right?
But yeah, one that you were talking about, the Lupin Castle,
that
was like before Ghibli. So I guess as far as Ghibli movies, this is the third one.
Okay.
And Grave of the Fireflies was a double billing. They like came out together and played with Totoro at the same time.
It's really a gut punch. Have you seen that movie? It's like one of the most depressing movies ever.
That's a weird double feature to play.
I mean, if you've got to watch Grave of the Fireflies, thank God you could watch Totoro right after.
Yeah,
do a hit you up front with Grave of the Fireflies and then do the other one.
You need joy after Grave of the Fireflies.
I have Grave of the Fireflies on Blu-ray. We bought it, and yeah, it's rough. I've only seen it once. It's not really one you want to return to.
Yeah, I think I'll never watch it again.
It's a hard one.
Fantastic hard one.
Never seen it. I don't want to. I own it, because years ago, I had bought, there was this weird little electronic store near where I live, and they sold I bought like Cowboy Bebop and Outlaw Star and a bunch of different animes. And I bought a big collection of Studio Ghibli movies. It wasn't until years later I figured out, hey, these are all pirated.
Right.
So I think we said it. So it was Nausicaa, Valley of the Wind, Castle in the Sky, and then My Neighbor Totoro.
Okay.
That were the order that the Ghibli movies came out. And yeah, Castle of however you say it, Cagliostro is 79, but that was when he was still writing for Lupin, but that was pre-Ghibli, I think.
Yeah.
So, which we've seen that one too. That one is fun.
This was actually my first ever Studio Ghibli movie before I even knew what the hell they were.
Oh.
That's fun. into it, I guess.
I mean, I was a child. I want to say it was like 5 or 6. My mother had bought this for me on VHS, and we didn't have a VCR. I remember going to her work on the weekends, and there was like, you know, they had, and she worked at a hospital, so they would have a TV on like a stand that they would, that she would bring into the room, in the meeting room, that I would be sitting and playing with my toys. And I remember watching this.
Oh, wow. So
that is magical.
So you, I mean, this is the dub, right? The English dub?
Like, I unfortunately have to watch it dubbed. I can't watch it any other way because of, you know, when you're introduced to something in a certain way.
Well, probably when you're a kid too, you weren't used to, I don't know, knew what subtitles or
no
languages and all that. That's interesting because that was what I said, you know, my middle name earlier. What I found really fascinating about My Neighbor Totoro is, like I said, it's linked to one of my favorite movie companies, Troma Entertainment, who's from New Jersey. They made the Toxic Avenger movie, among many others, very grotesque, over-the-top punk rock, like, you know, I always say like punk rock horror B-movie type things. And somehow Troma acquired the distribution of like Totoro from like 1988 through like 2004 or something like that. So like the original English dub through Troma is different than the one that you will see now, because when Disney got a hold of it, they recast everybody and put, like, you know, well-known names or whatever in there for the English dub. So you probably heard the original English dub. That's pretty rad. I'd love to hear it. I've only heard the new one, you know, but I was looking through eBay just to see, and I found the Laserdisc of My Neighbor Totoro that says Troma on the back of it. And I was like, that's amazing. And they were selling it for like $100. But it's worth it. It's like I mean, just to see, like, you know, two of my favorite things, Ghibli and Troma brought together on a Laserdisc. It's pretty
probably the cool version that I have in that collection I was talking about, because I bought it in 06 or 07 and it was bootleg, but it was before it, I bet it's the old Troma version then.
I bet.
I'm curious to pull it out.
You should do a side by side.
Yeah, I was curious how different the I'm sure the voices are much different, or maybe the translation could be even different, you know,
different as well,
like, depending, you know, but
I don't think it's that different, because, like, I've seen this movie many times, and I also got the chance to see it in theaters, and I don't think the wording is any different than what I, like, remembered as a kid, but then again, you know, it's kid memory, so I don't know.
So you said you put it up for a poll on was it just, like, one you should cover for the show? Because I know sometimes you do ones where, I thought it was like something you hadn't seen, because I've seen ones where it's like, what's it?
I did a whole year of that. This was just for Studio Ghibli movies, and I let people choose which one. And there was a tie between this and Spirited Away, which Spirited Away will be next month.
Justin and I did a podcast about Spirited Away for How Is It Now? That was one of our early episodes, because Spirited Away was a pretty big deal, because it was the first, like, what, anime to win an Oscar? Like, it's what, you know, was kind of...
It brought Studio Ghibli, like, I think, into a lot more people's lives. I had never heard of them before. Yeah. So it was my introduction in college. It won the Oscar.
Yeah, I think it brought a lot of people to Japanese animation, too. Like, just through, you know, its recognition through the Oscars and all that.
Whatever. Yeah, that makes sense. And Trey, what is your history with this movie?
Well, actually, Jess and I watched Totoro together for the first time together. So our history is similar, I guess. I hadn't seen as many Ghibli movies at the time. I mean, I watched, like, Princess Mononoke was a big one. I remember seeing that in the theaters. Like, there was this rerun theater thing that we would go to in Bloomington that showed a bunch of stuff. And I remember watching that. And I remember watching Howl's Moving Castle. But I had just, like, recently heard about Totoro. I think, like, I don't know, IGN did, like, a thought piece about it or whatever. It's like, oh, yeah, Totoro is, like, secretly the best Ghibli movie or whatever. And I was like, oh, I never saw that. And I remember... I mean, this is Patreon. It's fine. We like torrented it. And
this is not Patreon exclusive only, but huh? I put this everywhere.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was a long time ago. Don't come for us.
I don't think.
You hear the shit I say on the show all the time. Nobody. Yeah.
No, I know about how you get your game.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. We torrented it. And I remember I burned a DVD for Jess with it on there. You could watch it. You could watch it at home. But yeah, it's great. It's a great movie. But yeah, we hadn't seen it together until we watched the.
That is correct. Can confirm. Watched it together.
Go ahead. Tell your side.
That is my same ditto. Okay. I had seen Spirited Away in college and fell in love. I did not want to watch it because I had not yet come into my adult brain where I realized that animation was amazing and cool. I was still, like, you know, 19 and, like, I don't watch animated. I don't watch cartoons, you know, like, I watch films. because you're a fucking idiot when you're 19. And so, yeah, I was like a super snot about it and I didn't want to watch it at all. And then I just like, you know, fucking blew my mind. I was shocked, shook. And so then as soon as I could, I got a hold of we like, I don't even know. I was in college in Chattanooga, so I don't, we probably also illegally got a hold of Princess Mononoke at the time and Grave of the Fireflies. And yeah, watch those, watch Grave of the Fireflies. And then I was like, okay, maybe no more animation for a little while. Maybe we'll give this Ghibli a break. And then when Trey and I got together, I don't know, you know, Japanese weird nerd stuff, let's watch it. And this has become one of my favorite movies, like, of all time. I've probably seen it 50 times.
Speaking of being like the young asshole, I was kind of an anti-Ghibli person when I was younger, just because I didn't know anything. I was like, oh, Ghibli's too like Americanized or whatever. It's like not for the hardcore anime people. I remember saying that, even though I didn't know shit. I was a total idiot, but I mean, I used to say that because I thought that since it was more popular, that it was like not really true Japanese animation. But I'd only seen like one movie, really, and it was just a popularity of Spirit Away where I was like, oh no, no, it's,
you were too punk rock. It wasn't punk rock.
it's like you got to watch Akira, you know, fuck Ghibli.
Even though they're like hand drawing everything and not sleeping and not going home for months at a time and like shitting in buckets in the office, like it's not punk rock enough for you.
And we've Jess and I, we went to the Ghibli Museum when we were in Japan for our honeymoon, so we got to go over there and see that, and it was super cool.
It was awesome. It was the coolest thing we did.
The coolest thing I've ever seen is they had this, and you can't take pictures of anything on the inside. You can only take pictures on the outside. So you know, you see like anybody who goes there, you see the picture with the giant Totoro, like at the front door. Like we got that picture. But inside there's this like rotating cat bus that is like all these different poses. And it's like going in a circle, you know, and they have like a light like flashing at it and it animates. So it's like a 3D moving animated object. It's incredible. It's like the coolest thing I've ever seen.
If you search for it, somebody has taken a video of it. So if you search for it, you can find this and it is very, very cool.
It's so cool. Yeah. Cause it feels like it's like a real moving toy that you're watching. Like it's really awesome.
I was at a Titanic Museum exhibit in Tennessee and they're like, no pictures, no video. And literally, there's a guy right in front of me taking a video in front of the person saying that. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, right. People don't care.
Well, it's Japan, you know. I didn't want to piss anybody off.
No,
I know
we did not want to. We did not take any pictures.
This was Tennessee. Nobody was concerned.
Fuck Tennessee.
It's Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, which I've said before, and I'll say again, as my southern friend called it, he called it the Rednecks Disneyland.
It is. It sure is. Yeah.
I know Pigeon Forge.
So we know. We know the Forge very well.
And Phoebe, what is your history with this movie?
This is actually my first time seeing this movie, but I have seen clips from this movie so many times going to Anime Zaka and Harvard Square.
I mean, I love this movie still. I actually got the chance to see it in theaters, I think, last year when they had the Studio Ghibli, and I went and bought tickets and saw this in theaters. And I still love this film. As I was watching it, a couple of things that really occurred to me I never really thought about. One, I had to find out the year. It takes place 1958, so I mean, 14 years after the war for Japan, except this is a parallel universe. So I don't think the war happened. Again, that's irrelevant, but something I was thinking about a whole lot.
I thought it was supposed to be post-war, like from, I don't know, from one of the synopsis.
They're so
that
far
I was
out in the country, wherever they are in the country that, you know.
Yeah, I thought it
doesn't come up.
I don't know. I guess when I was just reading some random stuff online, they said it was post-war.
We definitely feel more separated from the war than we would in other parts of Japan. I think it's safe to say that.
I mean, and I'm surprised how cute this movie still is, and just, like, I was paying attention to a lot more things than I ever did before, I realized, while watching this film, because that's kind of happened because of the show. I try to pay more attention to movies now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sure. Otherwise, you don't have anything to talk
makes
about.
Makes sense.
Well, that too, but I've become more, like, just appreciating the way they do things, appreciating, like, one thing that did bother me every time I watch this movie, in the very beginning when they get to the house and they find like that broken pillar and they just start spinning it, like, look, it's rotting. I'm like, what are you doing?
Nobody stops them.
I love how happy they are about like everything they find, no matter.
Yeah, they're like, oh my God, it looks awful. Hooray.
They're like dancing under it. It's like, this is so cool. It's falling apart. It's like, all right, man.
It's just that sense of childlike wonder.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and trauma. You're not thinking about it, but like they're in a kind of traumatic situation where they're moving wherever they were at. We don't really know why. I'm assuming it's because that her mother is in the hospital, so they're moving somewhere else. So, like, in one case, it'd be traumatic, but yeah, like, they have that childhood wonder where everything's exciting, even though you're moving to a brand new house, and I'd be very upset as an adult
like
human.
Half of their movies are about moving.
I hate it's moving. True. I hadn't thought about that, okay. But you're right.
I didn't think about that either. I really hate moving, by the way.
Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah. I fucking hated it.
Don't
it's the
get
worst
Trey started.
It was terrible. So, yeah, I had died for
weeks. Moving into our house was like a 14-hour ordeal. And we had movers, so like,
I get that. I still have boxes in my garage that I've never went through, and I moved 3 years ago.
Talk about those boxes.
They're not going anywhere. I'm like, yeah, they'll just stay there until they rot, then I'll throw them.
We got some boxes too. I'm working on it. I'm trying to pull together my self esteem to go through them.
I have a copy of Time Crisis 4 in box out in the garage for some reason.
Oh, we'll keep all your games inside.
Get it.
I'm missing like 10 or 15 GameCube games, so that kind of gives me a little bit more urge to try to figure out what's in the boxes, because I'm missing a bunch of games, so they got to be in a random box that I haven't opened.
I'm missing shit, too, and I'm just like, well, that's okay. I lost a lot of shit when I moved, because there's nothing like, you lose a lot of shit when you're living at a girlfriend's house and she breaks up with you, and you got to get all your shit out really fast.
Oh, bummer. Yep, that's true.
Happened a couple times. So, yeah. But no, this movie is just like, everything is so charming the way they do it. Like, I mean, I've never had any siblings. I never had a sister. But I love the charm they do with the sisters for the two main characters. And just the way that they interact and how she's trying to copy everything she's doing. I love it.
May is my favorite character of all time. She's wonderful. And she's kind of, I mean, aside from Totoro, she's also kind of like the spokesperson for Ghibli. Like, you see her on a lot of the intro.
Oh. Always. I didn't know that. I mean, Totoro, I always think of.
I've seen her, yeah. I feel like we've seen her more than once. But yeah, I'd always just loved how silly she is and how much...
And fierce, fearless and curious.
The end part with the corn had me on the edge of my seat the first time. I was like, oh no, nothing can happen to May. And also, both of their names mean May.
Satsuki means May?
Yeah, Satsuki like means May in Japanese, and May is the way you would say May. It's supposed to be about, I don't know.
May?
Yes.
The month of May?
Yeah. Time or whatever.
But we do know that his mother, Miyazaki's mother, like had some kind of tuberculosis-like illness when he was younger. And they had to do this exact same thing. They had to sort of move to the country in order for her to get well. And she did get well. So this is, and instead of like telling the story about himself and his, I think he had a brother, you know, he made this, he removed himself a little bit from it and made the story about two sisters.
That's one of the best parts about Miyazaki is half of his movies seem to be, in a way, autobiographical, and you can feel it.
Absolutely. Yeah. The way that, like, he's obsessed with planes and flying, and, like, planes and flying are a part of every Ghibli movie. Even, like, Kanta, the, like, dirty boy who lives next door. Not dirty, you know, he's rolling around in the mud. Yeah. And he's afraid of Satsuki.
Oh, the plane. Yeah,
and he is building a model plane at some point in the movie.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. So you're always on a plane in a Ghibli movie.
Sure, yeah.
I love how he's terrified of her. It just amuses me so much because I can see myself when I was a child not wanting to talk to women or girls.
We have cooties. We have cooties, Mike.
So afraid.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see the way they screamed at those empty rooms? Like, they're terrifying.
You gotta scare away the spirits.
Yeah, they scared the, well, we call them soot sprites, but what was the actual translation of that?
What's it called where they type the words at the bottom of the screen?
The subtitles.
Good Christ, y'all. The subtitles say dust bunnies.
Yeah.
But I think soot sprites is like a way better
translation. I like soot sprites better too.
Didn't we like find out break it down like the translation, what it actually was?
Yeah, soot sprites, they call them traveling darkness, I think is what the Japanese
like
is.
That, yeah.
Traveling dark or the traveling shadow or something like that. So like that's what the literal word is. The literal translation of the word that they made up—it's like sutuwake or something. I don't know. Please don't come for me. I don't remember. I'm just making it up. And then there's another like M word, Maduro or something. But they basically mean the same thing, like the traveling darkness. Cute.
It's so cute. And that one scene when they're like, "I bet they're upstairs having a whole conversation," and you just see the scene of them, and it plays that one thing in loop And I'm just like, this is so adorable.
It's so cute. And then when they finally like go to sleep at night together and like there's like a peace that settles over the house and all the soot sprites like float out of the attic. They're like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This place is occupied now. Yeah. We out.
Or when May catches the soot sprite and then she just runs, opens her hand, and just dark. Hands are just yeah. black.
Just yeah. covered in dirt.
She killed it.
Or when they ruin the house and they run around the house and track their dirty feet everywhere.
But I also love, it's so like so specific, when they first come into the house and they find the acorns and Satsuki's like running around on her knees because she doesn't want to get, because she has her shoes on and you would never wear your shoes in the house. Yeah. So she doesn't want to take her shoes off. So she's like hobbling around on her knees mm-hmm. so that her feet don't touch the ground. Genius. And like such a kid thing to do, like such a kid way to get around the rules.
Yeah. They do a really good job, especially in the beginning, of kind of just showing you this family and how it's very much a, you know, just a single parent household at the time being because the mother is so sick.
Yeah.
You don't show the mother till a good chunk into this movie before you finally first see her.
It's true. We don't know a lot of what's going on. And we do see, like, I'm an oldest sibling. So seeing Satsuki, like, take care of everyone and make everyone lunch and get everything together and do May's hair. Like, I feel that oldest child energy from her so strongly. Mm. She's taking care of the household.
Did you have sisters or brothers?
Yes, but I have two. I have, we're like two sets. So I have older sisters and an older brother, but they were like 18 and 19 by the time I was born. So I didn't grow up with them, but I grew up with two younger brothers.
Okay. So I'm assuming this movie catches a good job of how siblings act, at least girls.
Yeah.
I'd
never had a younger sister, but I did. My youngest brother and I were very, very close as kids. And absolutely, I think we had the same sort of energy, you know. And also that you're right about the trauma, right? Like they're in the situation where they really have to be there for each other. And they are. And it's so beautiful.
Yeah, everything is different. New school, new place to live, new people, like, and especially if you're coming from the city. Like, I'm a city man. Like, I could not imagine living in the country. Like, I just, no way in hell. I have to be in a city.
I certainly couldn't go back to it.
They didn't even have a phone there. They said that, like, he couldn't, like, I thought it was weird. It's like, you didn't even have a phone. Like, what if the office wants to call you at home? It's like, nope, no phone here. Sorry. 'Cause remember, they had to go to a different house.
Yeah.
To call like their dad when he was at work. And I was wondering if, I don't know, I was wondering if they moved there. Yeah, probably a little bit because of the mom, but maybe a little bit because of his work too. I don't know. That's kind of what I always thought. But he still has to take the train or the bus there or something, right? Because they got
to
wait for him.
I think they just have to move to the country. You know, back in the day, they didn't know anything about tuberculosis. And it's not quite tuberculosis, but it's a similar disease. And, you know, they really just like the prescription for it was fresh air. So they built all these sanitariums like on top of mountains and in remote areas. They existed all over the country, even here. There was one weird story, but in college, my friend Kat and I like found the remains of one on this mountain one time when we were hiking, and then we did a bunch of research about it. But anyway, yeah, the prescription was just breathe outside someplace.
I'm sure that worked really well, too.
Well, it was better than, you know, because it did get them away from the population.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
They were quarantined with each other and like smog and soot and all the gunk that existed in cities, like people just burning trash. And you know what I mean? Like yeah. There were no regulations. So,
I mean, depending on where
you know that.
They never say it's tuberculosis in this movie, but that makes perfect sense.
No, they don't at all. They don't, you know, you don't really know. I just know that from Google. Old Google.
And it makes sense. I mean, I don't know a lot about TB other than when I worked at a nursing home, they do a test for it to see if you have TB because you can't work there if you have TB.
Right. Mm. Totally.
I didn't. Yeah. Is it still a thing?
It's still a thing.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
It's weird. When people stop taking vaccine, diseases come back. Who would have guessed?
Vaccines are evil, though.
So, Phoebe, I have a question for you that you can answer for me. So what's it like going from a big city to a little town in the middle of nowhere?
Oh, my God.
You knew it was coming.
It's definitely a culture.
Where did you move from to?
I moved from Dorchester, Massachusetts to a small town in Nebraska, and I plan on going back.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to try something new. And
big jump.
Yeah. It was, I was like, I have to get out of the family house. Let me just try something new, and my God, it's different.
Yowza.
I couldn't do that.
I just want to hug you.
I did have a question about the beginning, though.
Please.
Of the movie. So, at the beginning, May and Satsuki, they're in the back of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on the lookout for policemen. I don't understand why. Is that just because there's no seatbelts, or what's going on over there?
Yeah, I think they just shouldn't be in the back of the truck.
Okay, maybe I'm just desensitized because I've been in the back of pickups driving on the street before, and I've seen mm-hmm. other people do it. And this is even before moving out here. And I've been in the back of a van going 120 miles an hour down the interstate. So it's like, I'm just desensitized. So I'm like, why are they looking for the police? What's wrong with us?
Because they're breaking the law.
Also, Japan is very policed.
A little more. And people more like are like, you know, obey the rules, like that sort of thing. It's,
yes, they are very law abiding.
But they also get like health
citizenship
and all that and better working conditions.
I'm saying we went to Tokyo and we went to a public bathroom in the middle of what was basically Times Square, and it was spotless.
Their public bathrooms are so cool.
Spotless.
It wouldn't be in New York.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? Like, they are a regulated people.
The culture difference, because, yeah, we were in Japan for almost like 3 weeks, and then we fly back to LA, and I go in the bathroom there, and there's like shit on the wall. And I'm
literal poop on the wall.
It just
we hadn't even left the airport.
Like, see, it like took me just straight to Trashville. Like right when we landed.
yellow, brown, red.
Yeah.
It's like, oh yeah. I didn't know it was going to be that much of a difference, but yeah, America.
That's what I heard from people. I've heard that just Japan is so much different compared to us. We're slobs.
Everything is very clean, and the trains are always on time. And
they don't even have like public trash cans because trash cans are kind of dirty in and of themselves. So you just have to stuff your trash in your pockets and take it home.
Well, you're supposed. I saw somewhere you're supposed, because they have trash cans by the vending machines. You're supposed to like.
Oh yeah.
Get your stuff and eat it and throw it away there and not like walk and eat. Like there's all these different like unspoken rules or whatever that you're not You're supposed to like eat it there and throw it away, or take it with you and take it home and throw it away. Instead of like
throw it on the ground like in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Instead of like,
because we don't have garbage cans everywhere. I've seen people just go, oh, it's empty right here. That's fine.
Yep.
My favorite story, since you opened this can of worms, I used to work at a retail store, and there was a woman that once had a van, and she would just come in our parking lot and just open her van and just throw like old fish and all sorts of stuff just on the parking lot and drive off.
Oh, fish? God, what?
Fish?
She would buy stuff.
Just like a big rock fish, just like,
hey, just drop it off. And she would just dump in her parking lot and drive off. I yelled at her, made her and banned her. But yeah, she's coming. And then we just have to go get garbage bags. She's like, okay, go clean up the trash.
That's bizarre.
Oh, so you had to clean up the fish?
I did, yes, one time.
That's awful.
It wasn't very...
For $7 an hour.
Nobody wants to clean
up. It was 11, ma'am.
Well, state mandated 7.
It wasn't very good. But, no, this movie's just... I mean, that's just what I was thinking about watching this movie, is that what the kids are going through, and, like, that's why May is so clingy to Satsuki, because of the fact of what they went through, and that's all she has, because she's kind of taken over the mother figure since the mother's not there.
Absolutely.
You know, just everything with it is just so cute to me. Like, and to think about, like, that's why I had to look up the year, like, with it being 1958, like, that makes sense. You know, rural area. I mean, Japan, I don't know Japan very well, but I also can think about how old the house must be. First, that went through my brain, I'm like, this is probably 1800s house.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought about how old the house was, but you're probably right.
I mean, it has to be, because it's definitely not new.
Well, let's think about how old the tree is, then. Like, I
love that tree.
The tree's probably 5, 6, 7, 1,000 years old. A tree that big?
It had to be.
It's
such
so,
a pretty tree.
It's so beautiful, and it's so magical, and it's so, harkens back to Alice in Wonderland. There was actually, like, the first time that May sees the Totoro, the little bitty Totoros who are getting the acorn seeds, and she's going through the magical tree tunnel. I swear for a second I heard a little bit of music from Disney's Alice in Wonderland, which I didn't look up to see if it was before this or not, but I was like, oh, I mean, that would be like so amazing and so Ghibli of them, I think, to put a little bit of it in there.
And that reminded me of I want to say it before I forget, but the name Totoro, found out also, is like it's like the wrong pronunciation of troll in Japanese, right? Yeah. And it's supposed to be like Tororo.
That's why
like
the translate. I don't know if you've seen the subtitle version, but they say troll a bunch of times, and it's Tororu. So yeah, Tororu is troll
because it's supposed to be from like a fairy tale that she was reading, right? Because I was watching it, and I'm like, where did the name from?
Oh.
What's up?
Oh,
It's supposed to be the three Billy goats.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Of course.
Because right when she goes and sits on the big giant one, it doesn't say anything. She just automatically just points at it. And it's like, Totoro, you're Totoro, you know. So it's kind of like, I was like, well, where did that come from? And then it's, yeah, it's supposed to be kind of like, you know, the kid just saying, sort of saying the troll name wrong.
There's another instance of that in the subtitles where she says
pole tads
instead of tadpoles. And I wondered if that if she's saying it wrong in Japanese. And so they did like a, you know, whoop whoop translation of it so that we would know that she had said it incorrectly. But it also sets us up for the mispronunciation of troll that we don't really know because we don't speak Japanese. But
that's cool. I had no idea that's what it was. I also didn't think about the fact that you do have three Totoros. You have the small little white one. You have a bigger gray one that I swear was blue when I was a child. I swear it was blue.
It's kind of blue.
I mean, it was VHS. It could have been. It could have been a little warped.
I would still argue that it's kind of blue.
It was blue when I was a kid. I swear.
No, it's blue.
When I watched this last night in Disney Plus, I'm like, that's gray.
Oh no, I think it's still blue.
On Disney Plus.
Yeah,
HBO Max.
I was gonna say it's on HBO. Well, I didn't know. I guess
blue one.
I think in some. Well, I guess in some countries it's on Netflix because you know everything's different. Like when you because some streaming services you can't watch. Over there, like when we went to Japan, you couldn't watch Hulu anymore. But a lot of stuff that was on Hulu was on Netflix now, and you know, it's
VPN shipped around.
Disney's Alice in Wonderland was 1951, so that there could have absolutely been like three little music notes that are a reference. I'm going to say I heard them. Damn it!
Well, they kind of like influenced each other. I mean, obviously, like Japanese animation was like influenced by you know Disney in a way, like old Disney, but then newer Disney was influenced by Japanese animation, and kind of like you know,
yeah, and plus
circle.
Japan has no problem using some music, like, for example, Earthbound. I mean, how many tracks in Earthbound are a little copywritten there?
Yeah, some people claim that that's why Mother 3 still isn't out because of some of the copyright songs. I don't know. Could be.
I think it's just they just don't give a shit.
They're never going to put it out.
Yeah. But
you have to. It's available, people. You just have to sell.
I played it.
Yeah, we got a physical copy of it that you could buy like off Etsy that has the American
translation. With the tomato translation.
You
know, yeah,
you could
I played
on
it.
your Game Boy Advance and just played it all the way through. I played.
Guess what? Just play Earthbound. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, you like Earthbound.
Hot take. Just play Earthbound and forget about Mother 3.
Yeah. But I got the emulator on my phone, so I can play it now.
I just find it hilarious how upset people got, especially when Nintendo did that, when they're like, yeah, Mother 3 is coming to Japan. I would just laugh my ass off.
That was very funny.
Yeah, that was a fun stick a poker in your ass.
They announced for everybody, oh, Earthbound Beginnings. And I'm like, you mean Mother 1?
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, I didn't play that.
It's hard. I don't. It's really hard.
I'm not going to.
You got to grind like crazy because they give you like no experience points.
I'm just going to stick with Earthbound.
So, I don't even like Earthbound, by the way. So
yeah.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Mike.
You're wrong.
Mike is in the right.
What, you don't like Earthbound either?
I'm not the biggest fan of Earthbound. It was something for some few in the whole ticking down HP. Like, I think it's a good concept. I just...
It ruined RPGs for me. I cannot play them now.
Because it's too good.
Because the story is so fun and funny and compelling that it really screwed me for a
long time. You played Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, I have played Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger's the best.
When you played the best.
You know what? I kind of like Earthbound better than Chrono Trigger.
You do? Oh, we got married for a reason. Oh, and it was this.
I mean, Chrono Trigger's a great game, but it's there's other games I like better than.
I am literally going to cry. I did not know.
I'm actually going to replay Earthbound later this year for the show because it's, I think, 30th anniversary or some shit. And I'm like, I should do it. But yeah, so we'll see if my opinion changes. I haven't played
it. I hope it does. I will listen to that episode.
Yeah, Earthbound was like, it was one of those things like I had no interest in it whatsoever. I was like, oh, that game looks dumb. And a buddy of mine in high school was like, we should rent it and try it out. So we did. And I was like, oh, my God, this game is the best game ever because the writing is so hilarious on it. It's just like, I don't know. I thought it was so ahead of its time, like especially like the artsy club where they're worshiping the rock and all that. Like, it's just like, and then I went to art school later and I was like, oh, man, all of this is Earthbound. And they did this like way back when. I don't know. I could go on forever.
Much
on
how
that
I
game.
Felt about Ghibli in the beginning, you know.
Yeah. Oh, so I have another random question. That so Totoro, is that like based on like some kind of mythical animal in Japan?
Oh, the cat creature.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, some, but like, I would thing. Bet Trey is okay. Like TMI, maybe Trey is reading me a book about Japanese ghosts at night so I can fall asleep.
Oh yeah,
I'm fucking
just
five.
Just picked it up.
And so
you
know,
you say that like it's a bad thing.
If we find, you know, that this spirit does exist, I'll let you know. But we're only in the beginning of the book.
I have not encountered
a real life Totoro.
Speaking of mythical spirits and Ghibli, have any of you ever seen Pompoko? I think that's probably my favorite Ghibli movie ever.
So it's
like about this, like, what family of Tanuki characters, the ones that can like shapeshift and have like the giant balls that can turn into things. And this
Goemon, right?
What?
The statue? Statue in Mystical Ninja.
I'm sure you've seen, you saw Tanuki Mario, you know, from Mario 3, like that.
He didn't have any balls hanging
out. It's a mythical Japanese creature, but in that movie, they just go for it. Like there's a part where one of their testicles can turn into things too. So like their testicles like turn into a giant boat that like
carries them to the next world.
Takes them across the sea to death, to the other world. But they have this crazy battle with all these different Japanese mythical creatures in there. There's that one that has the giant eye on its butt that's like an actual Japanese creature. It's amazing.
They've got a lot of bonkers, so mythical creatures. But this one, I don't know if it's based on anything.
So the thing I read earlier was that it was supposed to just be a kami, like a spirit of the forest.
Uh-huh.
One of the major themes of the movie is animism, which is the idea that all the objects in your house and different parts of the world all have spirits or guardians. And it makes sense when you think about it, because even the dad is just super chill with this idea of like, oh, you're hanging with a forest spirit? Yeah, cool.
Well, and there's like a part that I noticed where he like worships the tree for a second. Do you remember that earlier?
Yeah, he goes over to the tree and thanks them. Yeah, for taking care of them. Which makes sense.
Tree as a being or whatever.
Well, yeah. It also makes sense that like there's old temples that are just kind of there still. Because I feel like Japanese culture wouldn't be like, we'll destroy this, where the European American culture would be, we're going to steal this and sell it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a Shinto too, right?
Well,
like,
they stand underneath that little shrine when it's raining. You know, you're exactly right. They just, things that have existed are still existing there in a magical kind of way.
Well, I
love the idea of like a forest spirit. I love that idea. And I also think it's, you know, the dad is, you know, whether he believes it or not, I can't really say, or he's just like, this is making my daughters happy and they're adjusting to their new life. I'm going to go with it.
I don't know. I believe that he can at least accept that it exists, because he brings up a lot of times in the movie the idea of spirits that he may or may not believe in them. If this was an American movie, I know this is skipping ahead, but the scene where the tree grows would have been very different if this was American, because I was shocked when I saw him in the background in the office, and I even met Mike going,
I love it.
Is he going to turn his head? Like, what the hell? How does he not see this happening? But when he does look, he just like, kind of smiles and goes back to work. And if this was an American movie, he'd be like, what are y'all, crazy? And it would be a whole subplot.
I love that you can just see him in the background there.
I'm assuming he doesn't see the tree growing, like when they're dancing with the Totoros. I'm assuming he just sees his daughters playing outside.
Possibly not, but that's also because they talk throughout the movie that children are the ones who can see the spirits still, because even Granny says that she used to be able to see everything.
Right.
I mean, it's that idea that, I mean, I do believe this, that kids and some adults can see ghosts and can see other things because they're more attuned to it. Like when you're a child, you're attuned to the world in a different way. As an adult, you become cold and hard.
And cats. For real. And cats too, supposedly.
Yeah.
I don't believe that animals could see stuff that we couldn't see.
Oh, Hunter, there's too many times where I know sometimes the cat's fucking with me, but there are times when animals will, like my cats will stare at something and you can just tell, like they see something that you don't see.
I know they have super sniffers, like their noses have like a billion more sensors than we have. Oh. Like it's insane, like how much more advanced they are than what we have. So, yeah, maybe they do sense other things that we can't. Why not?
Because I completely believe in spirits and ghosts and all those other things like that. Like, I really think those are out there. And I feel like this movie really kind of, as a kid, connected me that whole idea. Like, there's, you know, we're surrounded by other things. I mean, there have been times where I've been in a very old building or something where you just have that feeling like something's watching you.
For sure.
Or you can feel like the history of it, or you can feel what a presence to it. I mean, I've had that feeling.
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily thought
there was a ghost there, but you still get an uneasiness, you know, in certain places.
But in the same way, like I feel forests are magical. You know what I mean? I feel like magical tree energy when I'm hanging out with trees. So why the fuck not?
I've been that way too. Like when you go to an old forest, you go somewhere, like you feel like you're part of something or there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you know, maybe because of this movie, and you are right, as I'm watching the movie in the background, they in the subtitles, it did say troll when she first mentioned Totoro.
Mm-hmm.
So never caught that before. So, I mean, and the idea like that, that Totoro is this creature that only shows himself to certain people. Like when Mei first sees a little white one, she's not supposed to. He's like, wait, you can see me? You can tell like the shock on his face.
And then he tries to make himself invisible and he like wills his invisibility for a second.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then it wears off. She can see through it.
I love him trying to run away with those acorns.
It's so cute. I mean, and then when they plant the acorns in that, like we were talking about it later, like just everything with that is just so adorable. And one thing I didn't catch in, I've seen this movie dozens of times, but I guess it didn't occur to me like why Mei gets lost, because Mei was trying to bring the food to her mother because the adopted grandmother makes a comment about, you know, her fresh food will help her feel better.
Right.
I thought maybe she was just, I don't know, so like intent on going to see her mom that she just kind of got distracted and just didn't know where she was.
No, it is definitely because of the comment that Granny makes, like, we'll feed her all my vegetables and she'll get well so quickly. And already she had to delay her coming home.
Yeah.
So in May's little kid mind, like, she'll eat this vegetable and she'll come home tomorrow.
Because if you notice, after that part, she never lets go of that corn.
No, absolutely not. You're 100% correct.
And I was thinking about that because you see tomatoes, you see an eggplant, you see other vegetables. Like, well, of course they went with the corn because everything else, as soon as she fell once, there goes the vegetable.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work. I'm like, corn, the only thing that's going to work for what you're doing.
And you can etch your name. You can etch your name in the side.
I do think the tassel wrapping of that corn kind of deflates as the day goes on, which I think is a nice little touch.
It also kind of matches her hair, too, is what I noticed when she's running, like the bouncing of it and the bouncing so of the hair. It kind of like had sort of the same rhythm, like in a lot of it. But I figured she was just so focused on trying to get the food to her mom that maybe she got, you know, she kind of got lost. Or, you know,
well, it's also after the phone call. She only hears part of the conversation of Granny and Sachiko when they're talking and Sachiko's crying. And I think she only hears part and she assumes the worst. She assumes that her mother is dying. So she's like, I have to go.
Yeah, exactly. I have to go now and give her this magical corn. And also, they only went there one time, and she's like 4, so she's not going to remember the way. She's just going to head out in the direction that she thinks is right and keep going. And it turns out she doesn't go in the right direction at all, because they meet, Satsuki meets those people who are coming back from the hospital in the car, and they're like, oh no, we didn't see anyone.
There was one time that I went on a camping trip with my parents when I was really, really young, and I had this little like farm toy that I brought with me, and I forgot the silo. I called it like the silo or whatever, and I didn't have it, and I was like, I'm gonna go get it, and I just started like just took off running down the road because I thought I could get home. I had no idea, you know, I was like a tiny
child,
but they had to chase me through like, you know, down the road because I was just like, oh, I'll go home and get it, and I had no idea where home was. I mean, sure, I mean, I don't really actually remember. This is just stories my parents told me, but you know.
Same energy.
But kids just like, yeah, just being like, oh, no, you know, mom's that way. I'm just going that way, whether you actually know or not. That was the same thing. It was right. Like, our house is over there and that's where I'm going, you know.
Yeah, you don't understand.
Didn't have any, didn't make sense at all, or, you know, was logical in any way. I just was like, no, that's where it is. So that's, I'm going to go over there.
And they do a good job of foreshadowing what's going to happen with Mei, because you have different parts where like Mei goes to school because she is upset because Sachiko's at school and she's stuck at home. Like just everything where you see how she needs Sachiko because her life, I mean, again, something I never caught, like the trauma that they're dealing with, the fact that their mother's that sick and can't be home. Like, you know, I mean, and the single father who has to work at a university who's gone like till very late in the day because he lives far away. You got to take he mentions a train and a bus. So, I mean, he's not close.
And you know, the epic scene with the, you know, like we were saying before, the giant leaf in the rain and all that, they're waiting for him, right, to come back on the bus because of
he's taking
so long. Yeah. But he takes forever to get there and May's falling asleep like while they're trying to wait. And, you know, they make you feel that the waiting time and that little frog moving along on that time.
Just what you'd have to go through, like what, you know, what this family is feeling, but they do it in a happy way where it didn't really occur to me until this watching of how much this family is going through.
Yeah.
And what Mei is experiencing.
Just think there are real bus stops like that, just right in the middle of random places.
I mean, we did when we went to the museum, wasn't it a special like Ghibli bus that we took, or there was a Ghibli bus stop? I took a picture of it.
Yes, you're correct.
The Totoro face on
it. But it was in a city.
It wasn't in a forest, but it was like, you know.
Although I would have definitely gone to a forest to get on a magical Ghibli bus.
I mean, that Cat Bus, which we haven't, you know, we haven't really talked about yet. One of the most amazing things ever. That's got to be so comfortable, right? Those seats that are supposed to be like so cat fur, you know. I mean, I love the movie from the beginning, but once I saw that Cat Bus, I was like, oh yeah, that's cool.
I love the Cat Bus.
I want to be on that.
And I loved it when I was a kid.
I love how they changed the signs.
And it's fur.
Yeah, the lights are mice. Trey noticed that for the first time this time.
Yeah, well, I thought they were footworks or something, but I was like, oh shit, those are mice. And watching this time where it's like the, you know, it has like the different places that it goes to and it switches. It's like a cemetery, school, May, and then it just can't go straight and find her. Like, that's really cool. I just love the little details like that.
That's what makes it so cute.
And I'm sure, because I was just looking for Totoro stuff, I've seen people say, of course, people claim that they think that the Cat Bus is the Death Bus and the Totoro God of Death. And somebody always has to say like, oh no, no, they're really dead the whole way. But I think Miyazaki himself said like, oh no, 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 it's supposed to be a joyous movie. Nobody's dying here.
Yeah, no,
it's fine.
I mean, I take it.
They're not getting carried to the other side by the Cat Bus. But I mean, but they had some, you know, you could make some arguments. You know, they're like, oh, well, no, the mom saw them because she was almost dead. And that's why she saw him in the tree. But the dad didn't. And like that sort of thing. And there was also like a case, I guess, in that area where these two kids killed themselves and claimed that they had seen cat spirits before that, like before the movie was written and blah, blah, blah. And all this stuff. There's a whole thing. There's a whole big fan theory about the death.
But it's not true.
No.
Listen, people, if you want your Death Ghibli movie, again, just watch Grave of the Fireflies.
100%, it exists already.
If you want the really sad dying children, then yeah, the Grave of the Fireflies
for you. You can have it.
Yeah.
But it's not here.
Like, I never saw it as death or anything. I mean, I saw the Cat Bus as just a mythical type creature and transportation for spirits. Like, that's how I see it. I never saw the death thing. I did think about the fact with the mother when the mother's like, I think I saw them and, you know, I saw the kids in the tree as an idea that she was sicker and closer to death. So she was more closer to the spirit world. But that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, but then again, I mean,
then again, they were in the tree. So like maybe she saw that.
And I love again, this is a sign that the dad believes in all of this. He just goes, well, maybe he did.
Yeah, right. Totally.
He's just so in it.
He's there for everything. You know what I mean?
He just sounds like a really good person.
Good dude. Like him.
You know, like he's really trying with his kids too. And he's trying to, you know, help them and take care of the mother and like just be a good, like when you see him working, but at the same time, he's still interacting with his kids. He's not being like an asshole or anything. Go get out of here. I gotta work.
Well, there's like a couple of my favorite, like all my favorite parts of this movie are parts where there's like very little talking and they're just like doing things. So they do the laundry at some point and you see them like, you know, washing the laundry in the sort of stream and hanging it all up and dad's like, okay, we did the laundry, now we can run around. And you know, they all take a bath together and they're all eating dinner together and like he's involved, he's there
in the strategic posing where it's like they got just so we can't see his wiener like her. Yeah, it's funny where they do like the top down and like May's like right in between like his legs, or you know.
And he sees his children are afraid and he's like, well, let's just laugh at it and then it won't be scary anymore.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's something about, yeah, laughter scares the spirits. Yeah. Or, yeah, he tells them something like that.
And he puts up that bug net for them so the bugs don't get them when they're sleeping. Good dad.
Yeah, good dude. He's just going with it. Cat Bus? Sure. Yeah, why not?
And everything with the spirits. Like, I like this idea that the spirits can recognize that, you know, these kids are also in need, that they're going through some trauma. And are showing themselves. Like the Totoro opens up the gate, essentially, so May ends up stumbling upon him in the tree. Like he, you know, and then they make you think, is it a dream? Like where she just wakes up randomly, you know, she's like, oh, I was asleep in the middle of the woods with the Totoro. Then there's the other part where when they see the plants growing with the Totoro, they wake up the next morning and the plants have sprouted, but it's not a giant tree. Like, were they dreaming or was it real? And I love how it plays with your expectation.
I was going to say that part, like, you guys have seen the Bob's Burgers episode, right? Where they basically like redo that whole scene. It's amazing.
It's in the first Thanksgiving in the third season.
Yeah,
the fourth episode.
Yeah, where they have like a giant, was it the giant turkey that comes out of the ground?
Yeah.
And but they do it almost shot for shot, like as the same as Totoro.
The turkey
is
Totoro.
And it's amazing. Like,
Thank you for unlocking a memory.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Never seen Bob's Burgers. I'm planning to keep it that way.
Oh, really? Oh,
wow,
that's
rude.
Like, that's like, yeah, that's, I mean,
I don't like the animation.
Oh, you're I was gonna wrong. Say, did you ever watch Home Movies? Did you watch the show Home Movies?
The first season is rough, but it gets better.
I loved Home Movies so much, and that's what brought me to Bob's Burgers because it was one of the main writers started Bob's Burgers, and also the voice of Bob was the voice of Coach McGurk from Home Movies. But yeah,
I just couldn't do it. The animation just turned me off, and I don't like a lot of sitcom cartoons.
It's not like anything else, I promise you, because I don't like them either.
I think
it's ugly to me.
No, I don't know.
I did have a pinball of it, though, on Pinball FX 3.
I played that pinball.
Yeah, we played the shit out of that Zen arcade. Yeah.
Yeah.
We played a lot of those pinball games on there. Anyway, it's good, and they did a Ghibli. You could at least watch one episode for the Ghibli reference. It's pretty cool. But they got some.
You have my attention. I won't do it, but you have my attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's great.
Is that also the same episode where he goes back 18 times for the turkey?
No, that's much later. This is the episode where
it's the one with the Thanksgiving
fish odor, right? Hires them to pretend to be his family so he can bone that weird Calamity Jane type character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it is where we get the song Pass the Cranberry Sauce.
That was
the famous Thanksgiving song.
I love that because, Thanksgiving doesn't really have songs. But Bob's like drinking absinthe or something, right? And that's why he has this crazy vision.
That's exactly what happens.
Of the Totoro scene, yeah. So that's where it comes from.
And at the end of his weird vision, he's like, "This is really weird, right?" And it is because they're at the top of the tree, playing the gourds or whatever. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
To go to the bus stop scene that you were talking about, I also think that there's a lot of meaning to that, they're having anxiety, they're having fear because their dad hasn't shown up yet, and then Totoro just appeared. And I kind of take it as he's there because of their anxiety. That's why he makes himself visible to them.
Mm. Yeah.
The whole thing where he actually takes, they give him the umbrella. And I do love how he plays with the umbrella, how he just makes all the water fall. And he just, I love it's so cute.
From the tree.
Yeah, where he jumps, all the giant stump. Rain falls down. It's so cute.
I also,
thankfulness of it.
I'm watching the scene right now. I'm wondering if he didn't think they could see him because he, also when she talks to him, hands him the umbrella, he's like, "You can see." He kind of just looks at her like, "What?" Well, I wonder if he didn't mean to be seen.
Sure, maybe. Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, this leaf is hiding me.
But I'm so glad that Satsuki got to see him because after Mei saw Totoro, I was like, oh my god, please give that gift to the older sister too.
And you see how happy she gets after this. Because she realized, she got the chance to see him too. When the father does finally show up and he's talking to them and, he doesn't just dismiss them. He listens to them. He's like, oh, that's awesome. Whether he believes it or not, I don't know. But he's letting his kids enjoy life and imagination.
I think too, she's taking on such a grown-up role. It's nice for her to be reminded in this moment that if only children can see the forest spirit, then she's still a child.
Yeah.
She's still a kid. She gets to be a kid in this magical kind of way, which I think is awesome.
And not too responsible for taking care of the family.
Yeah, she can have both.
The youthfulness.
She can be in charge of the family, but she is allowed, I think, in the moments where she gets to see Totoro and ask Totoro for help and be a part of the cat bus and find Mei. She's allowed to be in both worlds. She's allowed to be a child and a grown up at the same time.
And washing machines were invented by the time of when this movie takes place, by the way. My wife looked it up after she saw them stepping in the line.
Oh, yeah, but they don't have electricity or a phone.
They don't have
a phone.
They're going straight sticks here. Fuck that. We're sleeping. Well, I guess they probably.
Yeah, they carry little lanterns around.
Man, I couldn't live without electricity.
It would be darker. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have too many video games in 1960, so you wouldn't really miss it.
Oh, I miss it now.
Yeah.
If I somehow ended up there. I'd like to go to your show, Trey, when Jeremy was talking about his traveling, I'm like, no gaming? No, I don't know if I can go for that.
When we went to Japan, when you're on kind of the same schedule, you don't have I tried to play, we talked about our own traveling. I tried to play Luigi's Mansion when it came out, but a lot of times you're just sort of too tired and just.
And we're in fucking Tokyo, so just
we're walking around all day.
Put a pause on that.
Yeah. I can't. Even when I was in Nashville about a week ago, I still played games almost every day.
Well, I use it as a relaxation thing. Unwinding at the end of the day.
No, I record podcasts.
Got to play a little bit, but
right.
Travel. I still always remember I was in Chicago. In the hotel across from the Trump building, I was very unhappy when I walked out the hotel. And I recorded a Mega Man 1 and 2 episode at 10 o'clock at night. Or 9 o'clock at night. And then I remember walking to some bar and getting food that closed shortly after that.
I've been in that stupid building.
If he ever goes camping.
Yeah.
Mike Elverton will not go camping, so it's okay.
But camping is fun every once in a while.
I don't want to be in the woods in a tent. No, thank you.
Weren't we just talking about the magicalness of woods? Like what happened?
During the day, the woods are magical. I ass ain't
that
there
is
night.
Not day when it's raining. That is completely pitch black in nighttime.
No, thank you. I do think woods are magical, but I do not want to be in the woods in the middle of the night. Hell no. Not adult Mike. Kid Mike, I had a park in Milwaukee called Whitnow Park that I knew like the back of my hand, even at night, because we went there so much. But those days are long gone where my ass be running around at night. I know better
Mike,
now.
Mike, if you go back to Massachusetts, do not go to Weymouth or Hingham. You would die.
I also never went camping in my life, by the way, either.
So. Oh, ever? I would say Jess and I went camping a couple times, but I just don't want to sleep on the ground anymore. It hurts.
We bring an air mattress. We put an air mattress in the tent. It makes it better.
Yeah.
I'm good. I stayed at a cabin a couple years ago, and we just got shit-faced and drank all the time.
Sure.
But we were also right across from a bar, so.
Sounds great.
It was. It was pretty fun.
But you can get shit-faced camping.
You can totally get drunk camping too
with you.
And the fun thing is
you get to grill things.
You don't have to go far to go to sleep. You can just drink in front of the tent and you can just pump in there when you're done.
I mean, I just drank. We had a room and I just went and passed out on the mattress, but I was inside a building.
Sure.
I can't remember if it had electricity. I had electricity. Just not very much. It was shitty, but you know what? I had a lot of beer, so it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Fireball. Lots of Fireball.
Oh. No.
My wife loves Fireball.
Fucking 19?
I was going to say, doesn't it have like formaldehyde in it or something?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't it made
fiberglass?
From
I think
weird,
it's fiberglass.
Yeah. It's from some
no,
weird.
No, for
shit.
Real. Look it up. I'm pretty yeah. sure.
It's not a
It has an acceptable level of fiberglass in it.
Yeah. Flavored whiskey. Done with it.
Yep.
I love whiskey, but no flavor.
I don't drink hard liquor very often. Usually just beer. But I was in the cabin, there was lots of everything.
But liquor, whiskey is.
My grandma.
Whiskey is wonderful.
Side note.
No flavors.
Went through a huge Fireball phase.
Yeah.
So much so that she would carry like little, you know, like shooters of Fireball in her purse to go to senior events, and she would like pass the Fireball around. So she earned the nickname Fireball. So all her like senior friends, that's what they call her.
And there's still Fireball at the house because people kept buying it for her.
Yeah.
She didn't like it anymore.
It's true.
You know? So. I love that you just had
20 bottles of Fireball like hidden in the floorboards.
I mean, I had a Fireball phase. I think we all did. But that was before I discovered real whiskey, I guess.
Oh.
I don't like any strong alcohol. I just like I love wine. I love beer.
Wine's a sneaky fuck, too. You gotta be careful.
I got fucked up over wine without. I'm like, I'll just drink the whole bottle. Oh, that was not a good idea. This happened a few times.
Yeah, I had that with a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
Where we drank like a bottle of wine, like a bottle and a half of wine together. And all of a sudden I was on my face in the bathroom and I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't drink wine anymore. Because you just don't know. And all of a sudden you're on your fucking ass. It's like, oh, shit.
I usually don't get. I don't drink to the point of vomiting too often.
That's a good
No, we're
good
old
idea.
Enough now, hopefully.
Yeah, I try not to. Sometimes it happens, but.
I fall asleep too long before that happens.
That's what happens to me. I just pass out.
So, and I just almost never drink because usually my wife goes out with her friends and I'm driving, so then I won't touch it. But the few times when I'm like, we're just sitting at somebody's house and I'm like, my house or at our cabin, then I do.
I'd say you could probably got to have drinks for the podcast, right? Anyway, Totoro.
I don't have a beer right now, unfortunately. I'm trying to not drink. But yes, Totoro. I think the whole scene when she does finally run away, like everything leading up to that is so well done. Like I had thought she was going to get lost sooner because there's the part where she follows, like you're talking about, to go use the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But it is until after that, when she's at the house and she sees her sister crying, that she just runs off.
Yeah.
And like I forgot all about the part where they find the shoe in the water and they're all looking in the water, like thinking she's dead and.
It's because she
gets really dark really fast.
And they're cheering. It's not her shoe. And I'm like, yeah, but it was some kid.
I know, right? I was thinking that too. It's
my
like, it's
guess
right, it's not May, but it's like, but yeah, but whose is it? Like
my guess is no one else is missing, and it's a small town where everybody would know everybody.
No, but for real, like, let's get that shoe back to somebody.
Yes, the guys who are, like, looking through the water are like, oh, well, no, it's just some other kid. Leave him in there.
We found a hand.
Yeah. Is it May? No. Oh.
Put it back.
Unimportant.
Yeah. I took it as, like, nobody else is missing, and they would know if a little another little girl was missing. That's how I took it. I didn't take it as a we don't care.
It's just funny. I thought it was funny, Phoebe.
It is funny. I didn't think about that, but it is funny.
Definitely. Yeah. So you said this was your favorite of the Ghiblis, Mike?
I think it is, but then it's nostalgic. It's the rose-colored glasses again type situation.
I think it's still good, though. I was curious.
It's still good, but I am forever connected to this movie as being my first anime I ever saw before I knew what anime was.
Sure.
So this movie will forever kind of hold a certain spot in my heart.
I was just curious, like, what everybody's favorite Ghibli was. I said that mine was Pompoko, but I mean, but Phoebe and Jess, and what is, I mean, is out of all...
Probably a three-way tie between Kiki's Delivery Service, Spirited Away, and The Cat Returns.
I love...
Oh, The Cat Returns, even.
Never seen that yet.
Interesting. Well, I mean, that's the... Because that's the sequel to...
Yeah.
Whisper in the Heart or Whisper in the Wind. Somewhere.
But above Whisper, the Whisper movie?
It's so bizarre. The Cat Returns is so weird. Like, in a great way, I think. It's one of the weirder ones.
No, I'm just always curious. And yeah, Kiki's, you watched that one a bunch of times too.
I love Kiki, but my favorite is From Up on Poppy Hill. I don't know. I can't tell you why.
I still need to see that one.
I've never seen that.
Why that's my favorite.
The Wind Rises.
I love it.
Oh, The Wind Rises is so sad. That's another sad one.
Wind Rises, is that the one where they sing Country Roads? Or no, Whisper?
No. That's the prequel to The Cat Returns. Yeah.
Okay, because I've seen that one a long... The only reason I remember that one is I was living in a real shitty apartment with my girlfriend at the time, and we were watching that, and her mother came out, and she's like, what the hell? Because she heard Country Roads and was upset that we were watching anime that was singing that song.
Yeah. Whisper of the Heart.
Okay.
Has anybody seen Boy and the Heron yet?
No.
We really want to.
I can't wait.
We
just missed it. It wasn't playing at the place where we normally go see movies.
Yeah, it was barely out, and yeah, we wanted to go to Alamo and it wasn't there. And I wanted to do a double feature with that and Godzilla Minus One. I haven't seen that either. So it's like
Minute it is streaming, we will watch it.
It's supposed to show up on HBO Max, but nobody knows yet.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Well, don't worry. Zaslav's trying to figure out what money he can get out of it. So before he puts,
they redid their contract or whatever. Like they're keeping the Ghibli stuff, but it's supposed to come there. But is it gonna be like, I don't know, where you have to rent it through Amazon? I don't care.
I just don't like that.
Just buy it before they try to steal it from you.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was physical right now, I'd order it, but it's not.
Max just pisses me off with the way WB has been in the last few years, ever since they got merged.
Well, I mean, you probably heard me. I don't know if I bitched about it on the show, but it kind of fucked me over too, because a lot of TV shows like lost their budgets or got canceled or whatever. So I missed. So I had aside from the strikes, that kind of.
Oh, yeah. Because of what you do for work.
Yeah.
Because what you do for work. I forget.
Oh, yeah. For my audio stuff, because I work on a lot of like reality / true crime stuff, and a lot of people's budgets got hacked or whatever, got axed by the murder.
You get to meet Robert Englund at one point when you did a movie with him.
Yeah, well, that was a long, long time.
I know.
Like 2009 or something. But yeah, I mean, I love Robert Englund, so it was cool to meet him and for him not to be an asshole.
Hooray!
It's always good to meet your idols. They don't suck. No, he was a lot of fun. He was really cool. I was trying to be as little fanboy as I could be. You know, I didn't want to tell him about my Nightmare on Elm Street pajamas when I met him. I was trying to be cool.
Sleep club sometime.
Yeah, I probably did. Well, I had the plastic ones because my idea was like, if I'm a fan, he won't kill me. You know, I was terrified of him, but I was like, if I wear the Freddy clothes, I'm in. I'm in.
I'm immune.
And he knows I'm with him, so it's fine. He's not coming. I'm on his side. It's all right. That's it. You did nothing wrong.
But also with. Oh, and to answer your other question about favorite movie, even though Tiffany, my wife, wasn't here, but her favorite movie is Howl's Moving Castle, I think, of Studio Ghibli. I'm pretty sure.
I can't watch the English dub of it because, what's his name? Christian Bale just ruins it for me.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about it. I know a lot of people are really into it, but I can't.
Yeah, I know you watch, because you put it on the background a lot, and you want to hear the, so you don't have to read it, right? Like,
yeah, but Howl's Moving Castle, I have a really hard time.
Yeah.
I'd much rather watch that one with subtitles. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm always sub over dub myself. But I understand if you can't watch the TV at all times. But the dub I have is to, good for all these.
I need one. Most of my TVs watch while I edit, so I need dub so I can pay attention to, well, sub, I guess, because I everything is subtitles that I watch in general.
Because you're listening to the podcast while you're at.
I do a little bit of both.
Better.
Because one ear hears the TV, one ear hears the podcast. I have one headphone in. That's how I do things.
Oh, wow. Okay.
ADHD.
Oh, God, yes. But I am so good at multitasking. Like, I don't know how Trey plays video game while editing, even though I've heard about it many times at this point and talked about him. I can't do it, but I can watch a movie perfectly. Well, like, when I watch this movie, I play Marvel Snap.
So you know about my editing process. I play games and edit, so I mean that's you can do that too.
One other thing I kind of want to talk about with this movie, like before the whole thing with the where May runs off, like why are they sending a telegram for such a dumb? Like it just feels like to me like if they wouldn't have sent a telegram, they wouldn't have caused all this shit to happen.
Oh yeah, I think just because they have no phone.
How else can you get a hold of them?
And she was supposed to come home that weekend, so I think they have no. University. You're right. But then we don't have any movie, so.
You know, I would have been okay if you didn't have this happen. You just come up with some other thing to fill 20 minutes. I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine.
And I'm sure his like, office that's all, like, trashed with the books all on top of each other and all that. That's supposed to be a Miyazaki thing, right? Because we saw that.
Yeah.
And I think that's in every movie. But in the Ghibli, they had, like, the recreation of his office, like, with the cigarettes and, like, the books, like, all over the place and kind of trash.
But I also want to say, like, why call when you can send a text? Why call when you
can send a text? Sure, right? But the way back same energy. That, sure.
Except in this case, it's why call when you can send somebody with a piece of paper instead.
When we were at the museum, you remember when they were talking about, like, how they paint like their panels and all that. And I don't know if this is for Totoro, but it always kind of blew my mind where they said they would paint like the background stuff first and kind of like build on it to make it sort of
layered
in the picture and all that. I don't know if they do that as far back as Totoro, but they were showing like stuff from like from Princess Mononoke where they had done that. And it was just like the attention to detail and all that.
You can tell really there's cool. some layer with the animation going on because of that one little white Totoro that goes invisible.
Mm-hmm.
He becomes see-through at a point. I was like, wait a minute, the background is moving at a different... What's happening here? How do they animate this?
Magic!
There's this one part... I think it's the part when she's looking for her sister and she wakes up the one Totoro and it like... It's like in the tree and it like... I just love the animation where it like jumps out of the hole and then like climbs up the side of the tree.
Yeah.
It's just really cool. I just like the detail of it. You know, because they... Instead of just like flying out, it just like a little jump and then like runs up the side and
spider Totoro.
Spider Totoro.
So I kind of think I know May's missing. Then she goes to the tree, right? And asks Totoro for help. And that's what leads the whole cat bus thing.
Right.
And they kind of call out the cat buses.
And that's when she just finds May. If I remember correctly, she just finds May randomly on some road because she was just lost.
But the bus had the destination. So it was able to. Is it automatically
tracking? Oh, and like how cool that it runs along those are the telephone lines, but they're also going to be like the telegram lines.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And think about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So
that's what he runs across. Super cool.
I love the cat bus. I know I've seen toys of that cat bus before.
I have a couple.
Got some of them, and there's like was it the one we were at that had the giant cat bus that you can go in?
Yeah, at the Ghibli Museum. Oh, not man. You have to be under 12.
It is for kids.
Which is stupid. Yeah. You can't even go in the room if you're over 12.
I'm mentally under 12, can I go in the room?
I just wanted to touch it. Like, can I just pet it? Because it is like a giant stuffed animal. It's open. You can go inside of it and sit inside of it. And
Are the chairs actually fur?
Yeah.
Like
the whole thing.
Why can't I go in this? This is bullshit.
It is a giant room-sized cat bus plushie.
Oh, man. I do have a Totoro plushie, a small one here somewhere, because I bought it for my wife at one point. And she has a Totoro hoodie and Totoro leggings.
Yeah.
I know that, because I've seen
If her. I ever, like, decide to spend... Hoodie. I got a shit ton of Totoro stuff. Yeah. If I ever decide to spend money on getting tattooed again, Totoro would be the tattoo for me.
Was there any... Because they, do you remember what, isn't there like a, so when you go to the museum, there's a 20-minute movie that you can see there that you can't see anywhere else, that you can't like buy or whatever. And they change it like, what, every week or something like that?
Every couple of weeks. And they have like six or eight of them in rotation.
Is there anyone that kind of takes place in the
There is one about May. There is one about May. I think we bought a book of it.
Yeah, we bought a book with the, it was like a storybook, but it showed the animation. Like it had the same art and all that. There's a really cool one with sumo, mice that we wanted to see that one, but
awesome.
We watched the one with the spiders on the water.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are these short films and you can only see them at Ghibli and there's a bunch, but you can buy a book, a storybook of all of it, but it's really cool.
That is cool.
I couldn't remember if there's any specifically from the Totoro world or not.
Yes, there are.
I've heard of them before. I've been interested in Studio Ghibli for so many years now.
Yeah, obviously. That's, really stuck with that's me. So cool that you got to experience this as a kid. Like, that is so magical.
And they have I believe they have a house in Japan, too, that's modeled after this.
Yes.
Right? Don't they have a Totoro house?
That's what Google told me, too.
Yeah.
I think so.
I think I saw pictures of it online.
It was funny when I was watching this, and you just see the kids running. I was like, it was nice to run that much when I was younger, too. Because now I'm older, Mike would be dying on the side of the road.
Yeah, after absolutely. That you watch their dad run around in those wooden sandals. And I'm like, how, dude? Oh, how?
That's another one of my favorite parts that I forgot. When he goes through the tunnel and he takes his sandals off and puts them on his hands.
Yeah.
And walks,
he's crawling on
and
his
like,
hands.
Walks like a little, like the spider. I thought that was so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you see him coming out with them on his hands.
Then his hands don't get dirty. Yeah.
Did you need.
But I mean, it makes sense to kind of like, you know, that they're all working like rice paddies and everything and, you know, farming like you would do.
Yeah, totally. It's crazy to see Granny out there, though, right? I mean, like, she look old, and she's out there in the rice paddies doing rice things.
Yeah. Oh, and when they put for some reason, it always amused me as a kid and still does, when they put the vegetables in the basket, and she lowers the basket into the spring to make them cold, I'm like, that is really cool.
So smart.
I don't know why, but it really amuses me.
Old school fridge, baby.
You see, if you live in the north, you just winter, you just throw anything outside.
Put it right outside, that's right.
Not this year, but normally, yes.
Right.
This year was not cold.
No.
Which was wonderful and terrible at the same time when you think about the consequences of what's going to happen. But hey. And then, trying to think here, I'm just kind of like, when they do finally find her, because the cat bus and Totoro, and then Totoro takes them. I do like when they go to the hospital when, you know, when the cat bus, the thing changes to the hospital. It's so cute. But like, if she wouldn't have asked for Totoro's help, like, might have just died.
From which?
May would have just died. Oh, I also didn't realize if you look at the cat bus, when it's jumping down, the cat bus has balls, you can see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really? That's
saying New Year to your cat bus.
I did not get
it. It's like it's the Tanuki cat bus.
But I'm surprised they got away with that. So.
Japan has different.
Oh, yeah.
It's like how you can see like Goku's wiener in Dragon Ball, right? It's fine.
I'm surprised that, because America's like, guns good, sex bad, you know. So.
Well, yeah.
In Japan, it's the opposite. They're just like, it's just biology. You have it. What does it matter?
Yeah, there's a lot of like, well, yeah, it's like the family bathing and all that. Like, that's a normal thing. Hanging out with your fam, naked in the bath. Why not? I guess they're young enough that maybe.
I mean, that still happens around the world in some places every once in a while.
Sure.
It's just dependent on the family.
Yeah. They're such a cute family, though, in this movie. And one thing I was kind of thinking about is the mother has such a giant forehead. I kept thinking about that every time I see her in this movie.
I mean, so does May. May's head is huge. I was actually kind of wondering about that when we were watching it. I was like, is that like a just a symbol of Japanese children? Like, you'll grow into your head later. Your head's giant when you're younger. Then it kind of works out.
Realized that the bath scene actually has a second meaning to it, because they're living just in the middle of the country. They're not going to have that much hot water. So they're all taking a bath at the same time.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I didn't think about that either. You see, that's because, well, one, it's not 1958, and two, we have more technology.
Yeah, you don't have a water heater out there, so you got to conserve as much as you can.
Again, yeah. I can never, I have to live in a city. No way. Every time I think about country life, there was like, I think last year or the year before, at some point I went up to Grand Marais, Minnesota, which is near the Canadian border. And I just remember like just seeing these houses out up in the mountains. And I'm like, wouldn't it be nice to live out here away from everybody and just write? And I'm like, who am I kidding? I'd miss life.
You could live out there and edit.
long day internet. Oh, my wife would go crazy. But other than that, I'd be.
I was a little bit jealous of all the space they have in that house. That's a huge, it's a big house for just this.
Yeah.
Four of them.
More to clean.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. Yeah. She's not wrong at all.
And they clean it like all hunched over, and they do the bend over run.
You don't do that at home, Trey? You don't?
Yeah, but that's get every
Gable. I would throw my back up doing that.
Just come home and just find Trey in the ground like, ah!
Yes, I would.
I'd be the same way, Trey. You don't. It wouldn't. I'd be dead too. I'm just playing her.
Just Swiffers, Swifties.
Yeah, same.
It works.
It's just funny
it's
to me.
It's like, really fast.
Just you know, not so nimble.
No, I like the way it looks. The animation looks cool. Oh yeah, when you're young enough, you can fuck your back up too.
And they use that exact same animation. I mean, it's not the exact same animation, but it's the same. She's doing that. They do the same thing in Spirited Away.
Yeah. No, I was thinking that too. Yeah, where the with the bent over. Yeah, mm-hmm. Watch the.
That's a great movie too. And then the very end of this movie, you get your song that I can't stop singing today.
What the
Totoro, Totoro.
Yes. Been in my head all day.
So when I made when I made the DVD for Jess, it was like I made it through like iDVD or whatever. But I put that song on the menu, on the main menu when you turned it on, so it would just play it.
Yeah.
Over and over again, and had like a picture of them sitting on the tree. Click on it.
It is a catchy freaking song.
Yeah.
It really is. I love it. It's such a cool song, and I couldn't stop singing it today.
Well, I love. You know what else I love is how much stuff happens in the end credits. Like mom comes home, they have another baby. You know, what? They play the baby.
Do they? I was wondering if that.
Yeah,
was...
that's.
I don't think I ever watched that much of the credits then.
There is a whole lot of stuff that happens in the end credits.
Yeah, that's a lot of Ghibli movies, right? Where it ends, but then it continues through the credits, and they kind of give you like
some more of the
epilogue
story.
Or whatever of the story there. But I was at first I thought maybe it was that it was another kid, but then I thought maybe it was other, because then I looked at others that said that they were playing with other kids.
It's their baby.
You think they had a third?
Yeah,
they had a third
I
one?
Do.
Oh, okay, never thought of, I've never paid attention to it.
It tells more of the story, you know.
You're gonna
you know
see
that
it
the
today.
Mom came back and all that. Yeah.
Well, probably not, but you have my attention. I don't see myself going back. Yeah, even though I just had it on just now, but yeah, I don't.
It's like how you are. It's right. Like how you are with games. You watch a movie and then you just throw it out. You just delete it off your hard drive or whatever. Never watch it again.
You're not that far off. I know
you do that with games where you like wipe your file or you delete the game or whatever after you're done with it.
Oh yeah. As soon as I beat it, it's uninstalled, and wherever the save file go, who knows? I'll someday get around to it again. I'll start over. So.
Do the same
Except
thing.
For Vampire Survivors and Marvel Snap.
Survivors is a wonderful game that's hard to put down.
I never uninstalled on my Steam Deck, even though I don't play it anymore. But it's never uninstalled.
I still play it. Had to play that whatever the Among Us, the Among Us DLC.
I bought the DLC, but I didn't mess with it yet. I just don't care. I don't know that game. I go through my phases with the Vampire Survivors. When it gets to the point where everything has to be half an hour, I'm just kind of like, yeah, it lost its touch. Now, Marvel Snap, on the other hand, I never put that down.
Yeah, still haven't played it. I haven't downloaded it.
You're playing it right now.
You know, you're not wrong, Phoebe. I just put it up to see what the missions were for the night.
Oh, my God.
So,
pay attention. Stay on target.
Marvel Snap don't require a whole lot of attention. It's okay. All right, any other things you guys want to say about the movie before we go on to Shelf Stacker Box?
I say, is there any
I don't have anything else to say. No, I think we said it.
You just want to yell into the microphones, wants to scare the dust sprites.
No.
Lord. You know, I was just checking my notes, and I think I said pretty
okay.
Much.
All right, let's go for it.
Yeah.
All right, and I'll go first. I'm going to put this on the shelf. I mean, this movie holds a special spot for me. It always will, because it's my first anime. And in my opinion, it's still one of the better anime movies I've ever seen. So I love this film, even though when I watched it last night, I was playing Marvel Snap while watching it, just because, well, I know the whole movie. Like, I knew what was coming. I knew a lot, some of the lines even. I was like, nah, but I still enjoyed it. Still love watching this movie. And it's just kind of one of those things you just kind of, I'll put on every so often when I'm editing or something, just to have it there, because it's just so cute. And I got to see it in theaters, and I'm so happy I did. But it's going on the shelf, and still love this movie. What about you, Phoebe?
I'm going to put this on the stack. It's super cute. It has a lot of childlike wonder in it. The soundtrack is great, but at the end of the day, I think it's just been all these years of it being hyped up has kind of brought it down a little bit to me. There's such a thing as overhype. That being said, if I'm ever in a bad mood, this is definitely going to be a choice on the list of things to lighten up the day.
Not great with fireflies?
Oh, God. No, if I'm in a murderous mood, I'll watch that beforehand.
I watch that every day, and it builds me up. It's like, at least I don't have it like them. At least I'm better than those two. At least we got a house, and we can eat real food.
That's the one Studio Ghibli movie I have no interest in ever seeing.
You're okay, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening. It just sounds too depressing. I'm like, no, I'm good.
It is.
And what about you, Trey?
I I shelf it. I figured we would all shelf it, right? That's where I would have it if I thought I had it, but I couldn't find it. I mean, I have the burn copy that I made, so it's on a shelf downstairs with all the shelf it, which all right. is great, right? The best one of the
yes.
three.
I too put this on the shelf, baby. Love it. Top 10 movies of my life, maybe.
Nice.
This movie. So definitely a keeper for me.
It's still okay. It's still fun.
It really is. I mean, I look forward because probably sometime next month we'll talk about Spirits Away and that'll come out eventually. So that's another one. I'm looking forward to talking more Studio Ghibli movies because I do love them.
I would like to see this in the theater. Like I said, the only one I saw
it was cool.
Was Mononoke, which is awesome too. And that one's so bloody. And I love the gratuitous amount of blood in that movie.
I've seen 4 or 5 Studio Ghibli movies in theaters so far.
I've only seen Boy and the Heron.
I did not see that one.
Nice. Well, you're the envy of us for sure.
I saw this, Kiki, Howl's Moving Castle, Princess Mononoke. I think that's it so far.
If they release Kiki back into theaters, that's it. None of you will hear from me that day. I'll just live in the theater and watch it over and over again.
Yeah, that Kiki. Would be me too.
Yeah.
All right. And Phoebe, where can people find you at?
Hi, you can find me as the Let's Play Princess over on Twitch and YouTube.
And Trey.
Oh, yeah. Nintendo Main Podcast. I'm on at @Nintendo_domain on Twitter and Nintendo Main on Blue Sky. I don't know. Just look up Nintendo Main. You can find it. Google it.
Maybe your podcast will be what people need to find.
And how is it now?
Yeah, if you search for Frab Jess K, like Frab Just Day, but Frab Jess K. That's my handle on pretty much everything. So I make TikTok sometimes. They're dumb.
That's TikTok in general, though.
Yeah, it is. So it fits right in.
I tried making TikToks of just animal videos, but then sometimes I do it, but normally I'm like, yeah, I just don't care enough.
I mean, I don't have TikTok, but TikTok is still everywhere. Like, it's on Facebook. It's on Instagram. Like, whether you say you like it or not, you still see it because it's invaded everything. So it's, you know, it's like disease. You can't.
We can get rid of TikTok.
It's like tuberculosis. You know, it's coming for all of us.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been banned yet, even though I know they're thinking about banning TikTok for some weird reason.
They want to sell it. They want the Chinese to sell it to a different company so it's not owned by China. It's dumb.
Yeah, they could just buy it and like Twitter. And that worked out for Elon, right? Yeah. He's doing great things with that. it's thriving. It's so great.
Oh, the newest thing with Twitter, since you brought it up, and I like to just do random shit at the end of these episodes. Yeah, with the Twitter, I guess he's going to start making you pay to tweet. It's a new thing.
Yeah, the last thing I heard is that if you're not on it now, you have to pay to join.
Yes, but he wants to add something where everybody has to pay to use it.
Oh,
good. And that's the moment when
it's the best way to make it even worse than it already is. Make everybody pay.
That's the moment when it's uninstalled. Because I don't use it. I just every so often I post when I post episodes for the show, I'll post it on Twitter too because people follow the show on Twitter. But sure. When he says.
We've actually gotten in touch with a lot of people, like guests and stuff like that through Twitter.
You can.
It has actually helped out a lot for reaching out to developers and whatnot.
I feel like people are less on Twitter than they used to be for some reason, but...
Well, sure, but I mean, sometimes you can still... Yeah, I don't know.
Twitter was a
big thing. It used to be beneficial, and I have I have my list of Nintendo news sites that I can all put in one place on there where I can look whenever
until he charges you for it?
What's happening, whatever, yeah.
Well, he wants to charge everybody.
Yeah, I'm not paying.
You use Twitter.
Man, it makes a sort of cosmic sense that the conversation that makes this podcast episode longer than the movie itself is about the Musky Man.
Yeah. It might not be when I edit, but yes.
Yeah, he's cutting all this, which is fine.
I'm not. This is all staying in, by the way. I just cut out spaces and ums. I don't cut out stuff like... I don't cut out good content.
Sure.
Why people listen to the show? You listen to the dumb shit that comes out of my mouth afterwards.
It's all the fun, right?
Let's talk about a whimsical, cutesy movie, and then let's talk about corporate BS.
I've been making fun of Twitter ever since Elon bought it. I'm not going to stop until it goes under.
Sure. But find you on there.
I am on Twitter, yes. It's my game. I'm following on Twitter. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on Threads. I'm just not on Mastodon. That's the only one I'm not on.
What is Mastodon?
It was like one of the first let's take over now that Twitter's trash, right? Was an early one, I thought.
Yes.
Mastodon. I never
It's also
did.
A metal band, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, that is true. Mastodon is cool.
I tried to use the... But I just didn't care. I didn't like the way it was, and I couldn't get it to work. The only social I will not install is Truth Social. I will not be downloading that one ever. So.
Oh, No.
Don't know what that is either.
Yeah, that's the conservative bullshit, right?
We're pretty far from that.
Oh, I very much am.
I mean, I won't even install Rumble.
Rumble?
It's like a stream. It's like a YouTube sort of thing that people who got kicked off YouTube go to.
Oh.
I thought that was browsers.
Y'all are just making shit up now.
Yeah, I forgot the Truth thing even existed. I was like, and then all of a sudden when I went to search Mastodon just now, it showed me an ad like Truth Social. I'm like, come on, phone. You listen to what I say. You know, I am not the guy that's going to be. You don't need to sponsor that ad to me. Like, come on now.
I can think about two things wrong with that name.
Well, I mean, phones hear what you say. Like, for example, I was talking with a friend of mine about the Titanic Museum. And then that night she texted me because she got an ad for the Titanic Museum.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've seen that.
Phones here.
When somebody talks about earphones and it shows up. But
I think that's everything I need to say. So we'll just wrap up.
I think we're good. Yeah.
If you enjoyed this episode, over 600 other episodes of this podcast, everything I do is on Podbean. We do movies, comics, TV shows, all wherever shit people convince me to talk about. So go check out our giant catalog. If you want to support the show, we do it on Patreon. For a little dollar, you can vote in our Patreon. We have polls, 1 to 2 polls every month. So definitely go do that. And you get to affect the show. Like, that's how this came on the show. And we have a Discord. You'll see links in the show notes. Please join our Discord. I'm always happy to have new people chat with us. And also want to give a shout out to my awesome intro and outro, courtesy of Helena at Hell Hastery. You can follow her on TikTok, Twitch, Instagram. You'll see a link to her link tree in the show notes. And want to give a shout out to A Gamer Looks at 40 with Bill Tucker, who's on the show quite often. So definitely go check him out if you haven't yet.
I was on that show too.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, nice. We did an episode. Well, I haven't listened to it yet, but anyway, he talked to me about Final Fantasy VI for his Final Fantasy, because he's doing his whole, like, through Final Fantasy thing, so I did it, but he said he was going to split it with a bunch
of people. Oh, he splits. Yeah, it's crazy what he does.
I was a guest on one or multiple episodes.
It's probably not out yet, but you will be multiple.
But we did talk, and it was...
I just talked with him about Mystic Quest IV a couple days ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was maybe a month ago or something.
He cuts everything up. He takes forever. What he does is incredible. I'm like, nope, no thank you. You can I will stick to my method. I give him props, but I couldn't do it.
Sure.
Oh, and check out Nomads of Fantasy and the Nintendo Main Podcast, which I usually shout out because I listen to your show almost every week now.
Thank you.
I enjoy the ramblings of you, Jeremy and John.
But yeah. Thanks for listening, and thanks for having us on the podcast.
Of course. Oh, and please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, TikTok, YouTube, audio only, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. It helps out any reviews. And I think that's everything I need to say. So we will see you guys all next time. Bye, everybody.
See you. Bye. Bye.